everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. We're talking about how to manage hunger while you're losing weight, because managing your hunger to lose weight is probably the most important thing that you can really understand how to do, because what you've been doing up until now is most likely trying to get yourself as hungry as possible to lose weight, and it doesn't work. So when you just think about eating less, and that's it, you're just going to intentionally eat less food, eat better food to lose weight, you're working against yourself. Because if you're hungry all the time, every part of your body starts getting fixated on food. Your eyes can, everywhere food is, your eyes go to it. You can hear people opening chip bags across the other side of town. You can smell the food from everywhere. And it becomes like torturous. It's so difficult and ineffective to be really hungry and try and eat less. It's almost impossible, and usually is impossible long term. So the alternative is to manage your hunger, meaning you start to figure out what you can eat at breakfast, say, that comfortably gets you to lunch, and what you can eat at lunch that'll comfortably get you to dinner, and what you can eat at dinner that'll comfortably get you all the way back to breakfast again. And when you start thinking with this mindset, it sets you up for long-term success, because you can manage your hunger relatively easily. It's not that hard. You just haven't thought about doing it because you're thinking about drastically cutting calories tremendously. And again, subconsciously, you're thinking about boosting your hunger as high as possible, because subconsciously the diets have conditioned you to think the more hungry I am, the faster I'm going to lose the weight. But that's not true, because you can't keep that up. So you may lose weight quickly for a little bit of time, but then you will put it all back on. So once you start managing your hunger, you come up with strategies that are sustainable. And so what are some simple strategies to manage your hunger? The first and number one by a mile, in my opinion, is to start eating more fiber, more fruits, vegetables, greens, beans. Get natural fibers into your body, because it has the same effect on you that Ozempic does. Ozempic increases your GLP-1 hormone, and so does eating high fiber foods, because they stay in your gut longer and your gut produces more GLP-1 hormone, making you feel more satisfied. So fiber is number one. The next one is to start looking for more nutrient density and more nutrient variety, micronutrients. So you're looking for more vitamins, more minerals. You're looking to get whole natural foods into your body, and you're going to find that you start to satisfy your body's natural hunger and you consume less calories. So learning how to manage your hunger is, again, just crucial. And so those are three big ways. Understanding to consume more fiber, more nutrient density, more nutrient variety, drinking more water so that your body doesn't confuse thirst with hunger, getting more sleep, being more relaxed. Again, I could go on and on, but there's a lot of strategies you can use to reduce your hunger so that you feel more satisfied, and then you are more in control of the food choices you make, making it easier to lose weight and to keep it up. So give this some real thought, because this can be a real game changer for you, because you'll realize you've been doing the opposite of this. You've been trying to get yourself super hungry because you associate with fast weight loss, but start to realize that that's just temporary weight loss. And you want to set yourself up to not only lose the weight, but to live the rest of your life there on near autopilot. So I wish you the best with this. So if anyone has any questions, feel free to ask them. And, does it look wobbly? Is that crooked on there? There we go. All right. So let's see. I see a couple comments. What's up, 1968 Camaro? Yes. Yes, I had a 1968 Chevy Impala, my first car from my father. What's up, Connie? How's it going out in New Jersey? Heather, I saw you search us the program. That's awesome. And Heather, I'm going to give you a little gift. I'm going to give you a week of coaching. I'm proud of you for taking the leap. So I'm going to give you a week of coaching just to kind of get you started off straight. If you got any questions or anything you want to talk about, you're going to love the coaching. We do it over Zoom. So I'll get you signed up for that. And those calls are Tuesdays and Thursdays. Girl named Troy says, I have an egg intolerance. What would be a good substitute? A good substitute for egg? I mean, you could just stop eating eggs. So I don't know if you need a substitute. I've eaten eggs, and then I love eggs. I'd eat eggs every day, but I get cholesterol issues. And I don't think it's the best to eat eggs every day. So I eat eggs, usually I eat 4 eggs a week, yolks and all. I eat egg whites every day during the week. But so I don't know. An egg intolerance, huh? I don't know. Tofu might be a good option. There are some alternative egg things now. I don't even know what the hell they're making those out of, but they got alternative everything now on the vegan front, vegetarian front. So I would just look that up. I couldn't tell you. Yeah, Heather, you're welcome. I can't wait. I'm proud of you. Proud of you for taking the leap, you know, and I'll do that today. Anyone who's on the podcast, I was thinking I'll run this as a podcast special. At least I'll do it this week. So if you sign up this week, shoot me an email. Let me know you saw the podcast and I'll give you it's just this week. So what are we at? April 22nd. I can't just all the time. I can't have too many people on it, but if you're on the podcast and you sign up this week, shoot me an email and I will give you access to a week of Tuesday, Thursday coaching calls. Heather just told my mom about that too. Yeah. Super Heather. That's great. And yeah, I think you're gonna love it, you know? And so, yeah, day two. So you're getting the hypnosis sessions, you're getting the emails. So make sure you got access to everything. We have a live class on Tuesdays as well that you'll get access to for all 8 weeks. And, yeah, I'm excited for you. I think you're going to love it. So get started on that eating blueprint, and then do the redo rehearsal, practice those. And then if you have any questions on those, get on the coaching calls, cause I'll bring you right through it. Is this about losing weight? It is about losing weight. It's more about mastering your weight. So it's not so much about losing weight as it is living at your goal weight. Although you may think of that as the same thing, they're kind of different, different focuses. Girl named Troy, also an avocado and banana intolerance. That is interesting. That's an interesting intolerance. That stinks. I love avocados and bananas and eggs. So that's a tough one for you. But, you know, hey, listen, I will tell you, I've stopped eating everything at points. At one point, I was a raw foodist. So talk about eating nothing. You know, understand this, that pleasure with food is relative. It's not absolute. Meaning, if you have to stop eating eggs, you'll adjust to it in a couple of weeks, and then you'll just be on to what you like to eat, and you won't even miss it. That's just how it goes. So always understand that as you're changing your diet for the long term, while it may be a little bland or boring or feel like you're missing out for a little while, you adjust to it, and you just normalize to it. That's how it works. So it sucks, but we all got to give up some foods along the path anyways, whether they were forced to or whether we want to for whatever reasons. And you can adjust to it. I did that with sugar. I mean, I used to have sugar, just even Jif peanut butter to natural peanut butter. That was weird at first, but then you just normalize to it. Now the sugar-free peanut butter is my normal. So you just adjust. And everyone should always remember that. I don't think people remember that enough. And they put way too much weight and focus on the initial couple days, couple weeks of making a change, you know, of things. Avocado and banana are both high food map. If you have IBS, that could be why. I'm also intolerant to both. Okay, that's interesting. I'm glad you guys know that. So many of my clients, later on in life, like in their late 40s, 50s, 60s, are finding out they're lactose intolerant, you know, gluten allergies, you know, just all these kind of random things that have been wreaking havoc on their body for so long. So it sucks to have those intolerances. But again, the fact that you know that is a real gift, because there's nothing worse than when you just don't know why you feel like shit and you just normalize, oh, this is how I guess I feel. Well, you know, a lot of times there's a reason why. So, yeah. Again, it sucks, but it's good that you know it. This will sound crazy, but I have an ED. I eat 200 calories a day and gain. Isn't it just calories in, calories out? It does sound crazy. I mean, 200 calories a day and you're gaining weight doesn't seem possible. So I guess my first question to you is, how long have you been eating 200 calories a day and gaining? And how much have you gained? My first reaction, and I'm open to being wrong on this. My first reaction is that's not true. Now, I've seen crazy things be true, but that would be the craziest things of being true. And so, again, I would want more details. So how long have you been eating 200 calories a day? How much weight have you gained doing that? Isn't it just calories in, calories out? It is not just calories in, calories out in the short term. It is not. There's a lot of different things going on in your body. So you could cut calories down drastically and not lose the weight you may expect to in the short term for a number of reasons. But over time, I don't think it's possible. You know, 200 calories a day is famine rations. And if you look at any pictures from famines in history, you're always going to see people looking exactly the same. You never see an outlier overweight person in a famine situation. I haven't anyways. So anyways, my first reaction is I have a hard time believing that. But Connie says, when do you recommend... When do you recommend revisiting the blueprints to tweak and optimize? Oh, right away. Especially the eating one. The eating one is the main blueprint, because if you get your eating blueprint down, that everything else kind of follows that. So the way I always look at it is like the eating blueprint's the main blueprint, because your eating is the number one thing affecting your weight. Okay. So we want to get the eating blueprint down, and you're always tweaking, optimizing that day to day. And that's what you're doing. The redo technique, the redo rehearsal technique's really helping you to optimize your blueprint, because it helps give you more awareness. It helps you see, you know, kind of where you're at, and helps you strategize better. So yes, absolutely. You're thinking about your blueprints day in and day out, moment to moment, if you want to become really mindful. Meaning, if I eat this for breakfast, how does this affect me till lunch? You know, that's what you're really looking for with the blueprints, is how to get from one meal to the next comfortably. And, you know, in the meantime, you may have some snacks in there, but eventually we want to get to a place where you may not need snacks, okay, where you have it really dialed in and you know what to eat. Now, the rest of the blueprints, you know, I would fill them out, but those are ones that you don't need to go back to as often. You're going to do the motivation one. You're going to know what motivates you. However, if you find that your motivation is kind of an issue, then I would go back to the motivation blueprint. If you find out your emotions are kind of an issue, I go back to the emotion blueprint. So the mindset blueprints I use more almost diagnostically. If I'm not feeling good and I can pin it back to a mindset issue, then I'll redo that blueprint. But the eating blueprint, I'm always in real time, I'm constantly thinking within my eating blueprint. So that would be my answer to that one. Maya says, I messed up in weekend when I spend most of my time at home. How can I fix it? Yeah, you didn't mess up in the weekend. You don't have good strategies for when you're at home a lot of the time. And this is what you have to recognize. There's different situations. So it's like, it's easier for me to eat well. It's actually kind of easy, all of it now for me, but it's easier to eat during my working days, because my working days are more structured. There's more work, there's more focus. Yeah, when I'm at home, a Sunday may be a little more challenging, because it's a little more open-ended, okay? But again, we all have to recognize we all have strengths and challenges. We all have things that are supporting us and things that are working against us in our lives. So if we say, okay, when I'm home alone, or when I'm home on the weekend on a Saturday all day, I tend to just graze all day, you see? So we pull that out, we say, okay, this is something I want to fix. I want to focus on this. So you didn't mess up, because you probably do this consistently. So it's not a mess up if you do things all the time. It's a lack of having a better strategy and option available to you. And so you want to work on creating, what can I do during the week and when I'm at home all day that is going to help me move me towards my goals? You see what I mean? Like, it's a different way of looking at it. You didn't mess up, though, because messing up might be like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that stuff. Well, what were you going to do? You have to do things in order to get the results you want. You can't make your whole process about what you're not going to do, which is what most dieters do. What's up, Danielle? Hey, Danielle, how's it going? Hi, Jim is talking, but always listening to your podcast. Thank you. Yeah, I know. I miss you. It was a lot of fun having you on those coaching calls. So I'm glad you get to listen to these, though. That's good. Yeah, thanks, Jim. Always helpful. Yeah, the blueprint, the eating blueprint, that really is the thing you want to become obsessed with. Like obsessed. I think if you get obsessed with your blueprint initially, it's a wonderful thing to get obsessed with. And I get it's a healthy obsession, but I think it's normal and good. Sometimes playing guitar, like all of a sudden I get obsessed with a song or a scale or practicing something. It's good. Get into it, do it. You don't let it negatively affect your life. But when you get obsessed with the eating blueprint, what happens is you just reveal all these strategies, and it makes everything else easier. Because once you have access to better eating strategies, it changes your weight for good. You see, that's one of the biggest shifts I'm always trying to reinforce in your all minds, is that you're not thinking in strategy ways at all. You're not thinking about eating strategies. You're thinking about, I'm going to use my willpower to eat less food. I'm going to make less bad food decisions. I'm going to eat less food. I'm going to cut down, and I'm going to force myself to do it through willpower. And so you're setting yourself up to forever fight against yourself. Your automatic thoughts, behaviors, habits, routines, are automatic. And when you go on a diet, you're constantly just trying to fight against those with your conscious mind. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work for long. So what we want to do is we want to come up with new strategies. When I eat this for breakfast, it satisfies me to lunch. When I eat this for lunch, it satisfies me to dinner. And now you've got a real strategy that you can follow, and it works for you. It's built for you, custom for you, and you can follow it to get the results you want. And it's different than dieting, because dieting, you're not coming up with real strategies. You just have to be at you're always at the wheel trying to stop yourself, and it's tiring. And that's not how your brain's built to work. So Connie said, I love a good obsession. I know you do, Connie. That's why it works well. Again, my clients are always overthinkers, perfectionists. And so you're thinking about this shit all the time anyways. That's why I say I'm obsessed with health. I'm obsessed with my weight to some degree. Now, when you get obsessed with things, ironically, it becomes easier to do them. Again, and I'm saying a good obsession. I know I say obsessed and people just associate that with bad. But if you're a parent, you're obsessed with your kids. I mean, I know there's taking the obsession too far, but if you're obsessed with being a healthy, good parent to raise healthy, good kids, that's a great obsession to have. Not all obsessions are bad in my mind and world. Getting obsessed with the blueprint is basically a short-term way of me saying, I'm obsessed with how can I eat, live, and think in a way that keeps me at my goal weight for the rest of my life on near autopilot. How I'm obsessed with how I can eat in a way that makes it easy and automatic and natural for me to live at my goal weight and enjoyable. You said to me like, oh, that's nice. That sounds good. And it takes, again, you got to be spinning the wheels because you're always spinning your wheels. If you're an overthinker, you're an overthinker. That's it. You can meditate. You can quiet your mind. You become mindful. Fine. You'll still be an overthinker. There's no escaping it. And so stop trying to overthink and start overthinking the right things. And the right things are, again, how can I eat, live, think in a way that makes it easy and automatic for me to manage my weight so that it's just, I'm just breezing through, just living my life at my goal weight. It's easy. It's enjoyable. It's fun. Great. You know, I think that's a better place to be, you know? I try to listen to your 4-hour sleep hypnosis 2 to 3 times a week, plus Tibetan sound bowls. I'm so zen. Yeah, it's perfect, Connie. But that helps, you know? So if you start sleeping better, that's great. But for you, Connie, again, the big thing for you will be to set aside 1 to 5 minutes a day to start, to do some silent meditation, I think is what would really benefit you. Like you, setting a timer, 1 to 5 minutes, nothing going in your ears. Just shutting out the world, and you with your brain turning things inside, relaxing your body, breathing more deeply, quieting your mind. I think you have to get good at that process, because by getting good at that process, you're simultaneously going to get better at realizing when you're getting anxious during the day, when you're moving towards becoming a frantic lunatic. You'll start to realize you're doing that, and then you're also going to have the ability to kind of bring yourself back to be more calm and relaxed and zen-like. You know, so that's a leveraged behavior. If you commit to 1 to 5 minutes a day of centering yourself, bringing yourself to a calm, relaxed place, I think you're going to get a ton of benefit from that, you know, in all different areas of your life. It'll certainly help with your weight as well. What's up, Astrid? How's it going? You on your bike? Better be on your bike, Astrid. Just kidding. But that's a good strategy that Astrid has. When she listens to the podcast, she rides her bike, which I will tell you, like, some point, this is the mid-range deal, is I'm making a program called Walk Yourself Thin, which will be walking hypnosis. But this is like walking hypnosis too in the meantime. You know, if you listen to the podcast, you should consider doing something active while you listen to it. Nothing wrong with that. Where you know, go for a walk, ride a bike, anything active, clean, you know. It's funny, I just asked my daughter that I painted my kitchen yesterday, and I didn't go for any like legit walks, just doing active stuff. I go down, the paint stuff's in the basement. I'm walking around painting all of that. I got 14,000 steps. So, you know, I think I'm a huge fan of doing like chores, projects, housework. I look at that as activities. And if you do a lot of work in your home, you should too. And if you can have a step counter while you're doing all that stuff, I think that's even better, because you realize that it doesn't have to be going to the gym. You know, you can become much more active when you're just moving more. And sometimes in life, you don't have time to go to the gym. You know, maybe you're raising little kids. Wear that step counter, because you realize just taking care of kids is a lot of steps. And it's something. It make you feel better. You know, the more you move, the better you feel, I think. So, but yeah, if you listen to this while you're being more active, associate the two together. I think it's a good way to do it. Astrid said, my silent meditation brings up a lot of memories. I can't wait to talk about that, Astrid. That's the point of it. but you brought them up on your terms, and that's the difference. So great job, and great job being on the bike as well. Connie says, do you think committing to 3 to 4 times a week versus 30 days to install a habit works? Yeah, I mean, consistency is going to be more effective than the challenge mindset for habits. I have found to be very ineffective, primarily because we frame it as a short-term thing. And so I think 3 to 4 times a week is very interesting because you're taking it less about like making about those 30 days, and 3 to 4 times a week, you're almost automatically thinking more longer term. And so you're setting yourself up for a more real world application. A lot of times like the 30 day challenge, you can do it, but you're so hyped on the 30 days that you just think of it as a short term thing you're gonna do. And when you start thinking 3 to 4 times a week, now you've pulled that out of intensity and now you've put it in the consistency camp. And so your brain is coding it as a more consistent activity. And consistent activities are things you do. Well, I mean, sometimes you do them every day, but a lot of times consistent things you do are less, like guitars like that for me. Like sometimes I get more focused. That was my goal this year, is to pick the guitar up every day. And I haven't picked it up every day, but I would say on an average year, I'd pick the guitar up 60% of the days. This year here, I would say I've picked it up 85, 90% of the days. So that's a huge improvement, but it's still not 100%, it's 90%. And so my brain here is less about I have to do it every day and more about when each day will I consistently do it. And I have two main patterns, when I have a work day and when I have an off day. Those are two different schedules. And so in my mind, those two different days, I now have times when I will most likely pick the guitar up. You see what I mean? But it's not about every day I got to force myself to do it. I'm looking to weave it into that schedule and weave it into this schedule so that I just naturally do it. And that works well. So I think 3 to 4 times a week can work well. I would mess with both of them and see how they work. Remember, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter because it either works or it doesn't. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, you just tweak it and do it a different way. So I think when you go about it that approach, it's you can't help but succeed. You know, there's no way you get to anywhere but success. Connie says, excited about the true autopilot phase. Yeah, well, remember, I mean, the autopilot phase really does come down to your strategies. It's always your success or lack of success is always a combination of your mindset and your strategies, and they always work together. But a lot of it is the strategies are really key, because the more strategies that really fit you like a glove and really work for you, the more they're almost like really good strategies by nature have more automaticity built into them, if that makes sense. And there's a reasons for that. One is that the strategies are usually a better fit and they're easier. But then B is once a strategy really fits, your mindset changes too. And it's, you know what I mean? Like it opens up a new reality. This is weight loss in a nutshell. Your mindset with weight loss is so terrible because you have no strategies. So as you start to accumulate strategies of how to genuinely live at your goal weight for the rest of your life, your mindset starts changing. Because you as a dieter, your mindset is that I can lose weight for a little bit maybe, but I can't keep it off. And that mindset is dooming you, right? As you can imagine. And so once you start to like accomplish, you accumulate strategies that are real. And it's like, if I eat this for breakfast, I'm satisfied till lunch. If I eat this for lunch, I'm satisfied till dinner. Well, once you have that strategy and it's like, I like eating this breakfast. And when I eat it, I'm good till lunch. Oh, I like this lunch. It's easy to make. I enjoy it. And it satisfies me till dinner. I like this dinner. You know what I mean? Like once you have those things down and they're custom made for you, well, now it's a lot easier. And now your mindset gets better because now it's like, I could do this and it's kind of enjoyable and easy and comfortable. So they kind of work hand in hand. And you'll find most of you that you have no strategies. You've got a diet, which is a tactic. And it is that lack of strategy and that one shitty tactic of forcing myself to eat better and feeling deprived that creates a mindset that says, I'm never going to be able to do this. You see what I mean? So they kind of go hand in hand. So focusing on the true autopilot phase as the goal is wonderful because no one's doing that. Everyone's thinking, I just want to lose weight. But what you're presupposing in that idea is that you'll lose weight, but you'll force yourself to lose weight. And if you really play it out, what ends up getting to where you get to is, I lost the weight, but now I don't have the energy or motivation to force myself to keep eating this way. And then the weight goes back up. So if we add more to our goal, it's not enough just to get to our goal weight. That's not enough of a goal, folks. You need to get to your goal weight and then stay there for the rest of your life on your autopilot. So that's a different goal. It's going to require different strategies. And so if you look at it that way, it's you set yourself up to figure out strategies that work for you that are set up for long-term success. Hope that makes sense. I was just watching the motivation video again and I'm looking at those red boxes. Wow. I know, Connie, right? Again, I look at those every day. I see those all the time. And looking into those red boxes is a real, yeah, it's sobering, I guess. And I think it's important. We need to sober ourselves up because we live in a world, we live in a world where we're constantly conditioned against our best interests. And part of it all is that, you know, the food manufacturers really do a full 360 degree job on us of minimizing the damage we associate with eating shitty foods. And a lot of it comes down to mortality. Even in our culture, we really do hide death away pretty much. And thinking about mortality, I think referencing mortality is the number one motivation technique. I think the more you think about things in terms of your own mortality, the more genuine motivation you'll tap into. Now, I know you don't want to do that either. You don't want to think about it. You're conditioned to not want to think about it. And when you do, though, it clarifies stuff real fast, what we're up here about. It's not about wearing a bathing suit to the beach. It's about living as long as you can. I was thinking, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think about this every day, and I don't know, like, what kind of bodies you all have. As I approach 50, I find myself, and I've been serious about it for 30 years, but it's like I find myself becoming even more serious. It's like I feel my body, I've got to take better care of it. Because the age thing's legit. Now, I know I'm telling some of you, say, no shit, Jim, welcome to the club. But what are you doing about it? I mean, what are you doing about it? Are you eating? Are you changing your eating so you're genuinely nourishing your muscles and your body? Are you moving your body and taking care of yourself so you can be flexible and independent and mobile and have balance and strength as you get older? Or are you not? And if you're not, why? Because you're lazy? Like, I mean, think about what you're doing right now. I you didn't tune in for this, but this is real stuff. This is how I think about things. And what Connie's referencing is really the lifespan. So, by the way, what she's referencing, if you're not in my world, go to my bio, click the link at the hypnosis session, and then watch the video I made for you. It's right there. And you'll see the boxes she's referring to. It's very sobering, you know? Miriam says, I'm a meditator and I practice regularly. I noticed that on my last vacation, I was overeating on the flight. I've been able to lose weight to keep it off for good, but when I'm on a plane, I was eating a lot. Yeah, for sure, Miriam. I mean, I went away last week and I was like shit, but it's like, there's different, again, no one thinks of it this way, but so much of your eating is environmentally dictated. So, you know, funny for you, like I'm on a plane, maybe you're nervous, you know what I mean? And then you're using the food to deal with the anxiety or, you know, there's just a lot of reasons why, but the good thing is you kind of connected it and this is completely normal. We eat differently in all kinds of different environments and situations. You know that, right, folks? I mean, your eating's not always the same every day. It's different based on different factors. So anyways, it's good that you noticed that, Miriam. And so next time you go on the flight, you know, you can pay attention to it. Are you stressed? Are you nervous? Are you anxious about something? Maybe it's just flying. Maybe it's where you're going. There could be a million reasons. Maybe you just got hungry, didn't sleep well the night before. Again, I think deconstructing that is very valuable because there are a lot of reasons why we get hungry. And I think understanding those is really good. I think a lot of people just walking around, I know I was, it's just like, I'm always hungry. Why? Well, I don't know, because I'm just always hungry. It's like, there's no granular understanding of why you're hungry all the time. And once you, it's literally like, it's like you got bad vision, right? And you're walking around in a blurry world. And it's like, once you understand all the things that make you hungry in granular understanding, it's like getting a pair of glasses where you can see things clearly for the first time. And now all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, no wonder I sleep like shit. I'm dehydrated. I'm stressed out. I don't eat. I don't nourish my body at all. I move very little. My mind's all over the place. I'm emotionally a mess. All those things make you hungry. And then you're eating shitty food, processed food on top of it, fast food, junk food. That shit makes you hungry too. So it's like, once you understand what makes you hungry in granular detail, it's a different world. You can still do it, but at least you can see clearly. And I think a lot of people walking around just ignorant. I don't know, I'm just hungry all the time. Oh, cut carbs out. Oh, I'm gonna cut down to 1,200 calories. I'm gonna count my points. And it's like that's a grade school. Like understand that it's just like it's so childlike. I feel like a lot of people trying to lose weight are like children. It's not your fault. You've been taught to think like a child. A dieter is a childlike thought pattern, is it not? Dieting is just say no to drugs. Remember just say no to drugs in the 80s? It's a simplistic attempted solution to a complicated problem. It's not up to the task. And dieting's not up to the task to helping you live at your goal weight for the rest of your life. So SB says, should I stop eating sugar? Yeah, you should, but will you? No. So the next best thing will probably be to manage sugar. And how do you manage it? There's a number of ways. The big one being having clean and pleasure days and starting to compress your sugar eating into a couple days a week. That's a good first step. And cleaning up some other days. And then systematically cutting your sugar intake down to where you're comfortable with it. But yeah, you should absolutely reduce your sugar intake. Should you stop eating sugar? Yeah, but you won't. I won't. I always say that, you know, like I don't want to be the healthiest person possible. And neither do you. And so it's a nice place to start your journey off with being honest with yourself. And yeah, again, should you stop eating sugar? Should you stop eating refined carbs? Yeah, but are you going to? No. So what's plan B? That's where you should start the conversation at. And where you'll end up at is you'll reduce sugar consumption. That's a goal you could probably really get behind congruently and make happen. Because you're not going to stop eating sugar. Could you? You could. But you won't. So yeah. We always need to look at our questions. Like I find that every day, because I do, I'm always impressed by people that ask questions here, because it's hard to ask questions, right? You always feel stupid. But especially here, because I think what happens for a lot of people, I know a lot of people listen but don't ask questions, because it's like, even hearing me talk about this weight loss stuff in more detail makes you realize, holy shit, I've been at this for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I don't know how to lose weight. Like, it's a weird thing. It's weird. It's weird to like be trying to do, because you're smart and you're successful in a lot of areas of your life. And so to realize that you've spent so much time and energy thinking about weight and food and weight loss, and you have gotten nowhere with it. Like you haven't stepped a foot forward. You know as little about how to lose weight now as you did before you started your first diet. Like honestly, you really have no idea. You want to lose 100 pounds, you don't want to lose 5 pounds. You really don't. It's important to recognize that. I think all real big jumps in growth and evolution start by realizing the situation we're in. Because you cannot be thinking, I know what I got to do. I just got to get myself to do it. That's the dumbest thing you could be saying to yourself and the most harmful thing, because it'll keep you stuck. You don't know what to do. You do not know what to do. If you did, you'd do it. Just because you have some vague ass idea of, oh, I should stop eating carbs, I should eat 1,200 calories, I should eat cleaner, I should eat healthier. That means nothing to your subconscious mind, which is why you don't do it. You know? Literally, you don't know what to do. This is why I'm programming yourself thin. You have two problems in front of you. There's two problems you have to get through in order to master your weight, to return to your goal weight and live the rest of your life. You need to know what to do, and you need to know how to get yourself to do it consistently. You don't know what to do, and you do not know how to get yourself to do it consistently. And it's not because you're stupid. You're not stupid. You've never been taught how to figure out what to do for you, and you have never been shown how to get yourself to do what you know you should. So, you know, you have these vague, I should stop eating sugar. I should stop eating carbs. I got to cut down on the junk food. You have these vague ideas of things which are vague and don't mean anything. And on top of that, you have no idea how to influence your behavior in any real compelling way that lasts. So until you figure that out, it's always going to be a struggle. And this is what we do in Program Yourself Thin. You fill out your eating blueprint, you learn how to program your mind so you can actually do the things that you know you should. Two things you literally don't even know now. It's like, you know what I mean? You're trying to go on a trip without a map. And to be honest, you don't even know the destination either. You're fucked. You really are. I hate to say this. I don't want to sound so negative, but sometimes I got to be blunt. Kelly, what's up, Kelly? Having an extra day of pleasure today. Been doing great on my eating and wanted one more day. Good for you. That's fine, Kelly. Kelly, the more you allow yourself to do it, the better. I know that sounds strange. And in the short term, it might slow your weight loss down a little bit, but in the long term, it's going to make it thrive. Days are like that. We're not always the same. My Mondays, my clean days aren't always as clean. I'm not a robot. I have cleaner clean days and I have less clean days. That's how it is. And I'm always kind of managing them, you know? So great job, Kelly. I'm proud of you, because one of the hardest things in the world to do is to give yourself permission and to eat the wrong things. You know, how do you deal with that? Because you all as dieters are all or nothing. And that all or nothing mindset is more destructive than you can even imagine, you know? So I'm proud of you, Kelly. Good job, because at least you're in new territory now. So I'm proud of you. SB says, after 30 years, been on and off diet, still can't figure out how to lose weight. Everyone can but me. Oh, SB, no. No one can. Everyone can but me is bullshit. Who the fuck? Who are you seeing walking around just killing it? Who of you know that's lost weight and kept it off long term? Give me their name. I'd love to talk to them. No, everyone but you. That's bullshit. But that's a dieter thinking for you, because you think that because what do you see? You've had an entire lifetime, literally millions of diet ads in your fucking brain of seeing a before and after picture. And you start to create this narrative that all of these people have done it except for me. I'm the fucking one idiot. I'm the loser. I'm the jerk. I'm the, you know, all mean, bad identity, bad self-image. It's not true. 72% of the population's overweight or obese. We're hurtling towards 90% in 10 years is what estimates are put at. So it's not just you. It's literally almost everyone. And yeah, the reason you don't know how, you still can't figure it out because, you know, it's like if I took you and put you in front of a piano with no training, could you figure it out? Probably not. Probably not, honestly. You're not gonna figure out chords and harmonies and melodies and rhythm and how to play the piano. Probably, you know? So it's like, that's kind of what you're doing with the weight loss is the diets are an illusion that make it seem like it's a plan to lose weight. All the big diets are owned by the big food companies. They're just trying to fill your head with rocks to keep you eating shitty foods forever. Weight Watchers was owned by Heinz. Jenny Craig was owned by Nestle. Atkins Food Products, owned by the same company that owns Carvel Ice Cream and Cinnabon. Slim Fast is owned by the same company as owns Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream. They're just filling your head with dieting bullshit to keep you stuck as a dieter your whole life. Because what do dieters eat? Dieters eat shitty food most of the time. Except for the 10% of the time they're dieting, they're eating a lot of shitty foods. Let's be honest. And if they're not eating shitty foods, they're overeating healthier foods. But usually there's some processed, ultra-processed, fast food, junk food eating going on most of the time. Kelly says, I think I'm more excited. I can eat well in these days without overindulging. Kelly, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. And Kelly brings up the main point that do you not eat for pleasure, folks? Do you, though? I know you don't. I know you don't eat. You don't even know how to eat for pleasure. You think your problem is that you do not eat for pleasure and you can't stop yourself from eating for pleasure. And I'm sitting here telling you straight up, you don't know how to eat for pleasure. You know how to binge eat, you know? You know how to over-restrict and then overeat. But you don't know how to eat for genuine pleasure, because the greatest pleasure you can get out of food is when you eat your favorite tasting food at your goal weight. The best, most pleasure you can ever get out of food. But that's great, Kelly. I'm proud of you. Yeah, you're moving forward in the right way by doing those things. Don says, how to think of sugar, how to develop a mindset that I don't want to feed my body with sugar anymore. Again, I just don't think that's true. I don't think you want to feed your body as much sugar as you've been feeding it. But I think we got to be very careful with these black and white thinking. The never eating sugar again thing, I think, knock yourselves out with that, folks. Okay, think what you want. But I think the more you think like I can never eat sugar again, I got to stop eating sugar. The more you think in these black or white terms, I think you're going to find the more you keep eating sugar at the same level you always have. That's what I think. And if that's not the case for you, then great. But if it is the case for you, then remember I said it, and you might want to do something different. You might want to realize that thinking this way about sugar is not getting you the results you want. And what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is that you're going to eat some sugar, but just not as much as you've been doing. If you could cut it down by 50%, 60%, that'd be a tremendous improvement for you. And you may be a lot more congruently oriented towards that goal. Because when you say, I'm never going to eat sugar again, that's never eating a cupcake again, never eating a cookie again, never eating a dessert again. Is that the life you want to lead? Really? I don't think it is. So, but if I eat any sugar, Jim, I eat all the sugar. Well, that's because you're always thinking black and white, though. When's the last time you really approached sugar? How can I eat this more moderately so I can achieve the weight health goals I want and I can eat it sometimes? And you've never asked that question. You have no strategy to make it happen. You don't have any mindset strategy to make it happen. And you have no eating strategy to make that happen. And you've never even thought it. So just because you think you've tried to cut sugar out is not even what I'm talking about. So yeah, how to think of sugar is, I think of sugar like cocaine. Now I've never done cocaine, but I think of it, it's very addictive. So I treat sugar, I think of sugar like alcohol, which I guess kind of they are in a lot of ways, but alcohol, I'm very, very respectful of. I've had issues with alcohol. I've had issues with sugar. I've had issues with refined carbs. I treat them all in the same category. They're all to be treated with respect. They're good in their little space, and they're bad when they get out of that space. And I've been very successful at getting myself to eat them in a way where it works for me. So I still eat sugar, but I eat 80% less than I used to. 90% less than I used to, probably. Same with alcohol, though. So I think if you congruently aim at the goal of like wanting to reduce your sugar consumption by whatever percent would make you the happiest, I think you're going to find that 100% no sugar is not the happiest place for you. So I think that's how I would think of it. But of course, everyone gets to think about things how they want to. Tips for bulimia. I do not have any tips for bulimia. I don't work with eating disorders at all. I can tell you a little bit of one thing I think that can be helpful is whatever, if you have an eating disorder, I think one thing that may be helpful is to realize instead of just aiming at a weight goal, like a number on the scale, that you start making it a bigger goal. And I always say like, oh, see, I get age restricted as soon as I talk about this, which is good. That I think your weight loss goal needs to be more meaningful than just a number on a scale or a size that you're going to be. I think you need to look at this as take your weight loss rapid in personal development. Make this about becoming the best version of you possible. And I think the best version of you possible is not just defined by your size. It's defined by how you feel on the inside. And I think being hungry all the time and not letting yourself eat, I think eating and then purging, I don't think that makes you feel like the best version of yourself. And so that's my core tip, that I think set a bigger, better goal than just a number on a scale or a size clothes that you can wear. Because at the end of the day, that shit doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. Because if it did, the happiest people would be the skinniest people. And that's not how it is. And again, if you're suffering from any eating disorder, bulimia, anorexia, you know, the more you suffer with that, it's literally suffering with it. You're not thriving. You're not thriving at that weight. You're really not. You may like that you're that weight, but then there's a whole other part of your reality that's miserable and torturous. And so it's not a real goal. It's not a real goal to be aiming at, to just disassociate the weight from the rest of the reality that creates it. And if you take yourself as a whole and say, who do I want to be as a person? Yes, your weight's part of it, but it's a part of it. And more of it's about who do you want to be? And I think when you start to think about yourself in that way, it probably sets you up for better success. But again, that's not my specialty. Adonna says, okay, thank you. Reducing sounds better than cutting it all out. Yeah, of course, right? And again, the dieting mentality is very strict. And it's this way on purpose. Again, you've been conditioned to think like a dieter because you know how much money is made off of you being overweight, unhealthy, unhappy? You know how much food's made off of, you know how much money's made off the food industry? The diet industry, they're the same, the medical industry. So, you know, the dieting is it's like a conspiracy. It's there to get your brain turned into mashed potatoes so that when you think about weight loss, you think about doing these overwhelming, extreme, unsustainable things to lose weight for a short period of time, but not sustainably. So you've got to stop thinking like a dieter if you have any chance of actually living at your goal weight. So thanks for the answer. You're welcome, man. Donna says, what to think if my brain always says buy some chocolate? Well, it's the same thing, Donna. I mean, your brain is always saying buy some chocolate because you're always saying I have to stop eating chocolate. I have to stop eating the sugar. I have to give up the sugar. So you live in this black or white world mentally where you got to completely stop eating sugar, completely stop eating chocolate. Let me frame it a different way. The more you over-restrict something or want to over-restrict something, the more you subconsciously are building up a desire and a craving for it. So once again, your brain is the fastest way for me to get to myself obsessing about sugar is to say I can never eat sugar again. My brain will glom onto that and start thinking about everything. But what I do is I say, I'm not going to eat sugar until next weekend. And I'll eat some chocolate. I'll eat a little bit of sugar like after dinner, like a little bit. But I'll eat like a bigger dessert on the weekend. You know, so I'm not saying I can never have sugar again. I can never have chocolate. I'm saying I can have like a square of good quality chocolate after dinner. I can have as much chocolate as I want on the weekend, relatively, you know. And so that's why your brain's obsessed with chocolate, because you keep saying, okay, it's Monday. Here we go. No more chocolate after today. No more. Just starting today, no more chocolate. And as soon as you say no more, you start to create more craving for it. So I hope that makes sense, because that gets to the core of hypnotic thinking and your hypnotic brain that you have in your head. And understanding that the nature of your hypnotic brain is very helpful when you want to do this. Pam Cake says, I could listen to you all day. Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Buonasera? That's Italian, right? Is that Italian? Portuguese? Don says you're right. Yeah, I know that. I know a dieter's brain. I know dieter's brain more than dieters know it. You know, this is what I've been doing for professionally for 20 years, almost 6,000 private weight loss sessions. And it's seeing the same things coming at me for 20 years. It's starting off. I've been doing this personally for 30 years of myself and other people casually. But you start to notice the exact same patterns over and you say, how can everyone think the same stuff? And then you realize, oh, because everyone thinks like a dieter. You all been infected by that diet mindset, and it's got you fucked. Like you're stuck, you're trapped, you're imprisoned in a dieter mindset. You got to break free of it. And the only way I know how to do it is through what I do. And I don't see a lot of people talking about it in this way. So again, I always urge you all, please go to my bio and click the link and get the hypnosis session. Watch the videos I make for you. I give you a whole program for free. I give you all sorts of stuff for free. I got a program too, but no one gives away more free stuff than I do, you know? So yeah, you can listen to me even more all day. Listen to my hypnosis sessions. Esther says, have to go. Looking forward to live lesson tomorrow. Thank you. No, you're welcome, Esther. Can't wait to hear about your thoughts that you've been having. Benjamina says, I really try to get dark chocolate, just a small square. Yes, Italian. All right, yeah. So, you know, the problem is Nutella, for sure. Nutella's a challenge. I will tell you one thing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to use my iPad and just show you stuff. I will tell you this. I thought it was Benjamina. Beniamina. Am I saying that right? Beniamina. What I would suggest you do, and this is a good, share this with you, okay? Because this is a good way to kind of explain the difference with what I'm doing fundamentally with what you've been doing as a dieter. Most dieters are just going to fight against themselves, right? So you say, okay, diet starts tomorrow. It's Monday. Now, no more chocolate, no more carbs, 1200, whatever it is your philosophy is, you're just going to force yourself now to follow that. But there's the party that keeps compelling you to do the wrong stuff, right? Because it's weird, isn't it? As much as you want to lose weight, why don't you just eat well? Why don't you just do the stuff to make you lose weight? There's some part of you that keeps like compelling you to do the wrong stuff because it feels like that. Every time you want to lose weight, it feels like you're fighting against yourself, doesn't it? You are. You're fighting against your subconscious programming. And so what I want to do with people, because my goal isn't for you just to lose weight. I want you to get to your goal weight and live there for the rest of your life on near autopilot. So how do we make that happen? You have to reprogram your subconscious mind so that it wants to or doesn't want to do the things that bring you towards your goal naturally. See, what you're doing as a dieter is you're always fighting against yourself. You're not changing your subconscious mind at all. So it's like you start day one, you still love carbs just as much as you did yesterday, but now you're going to force yourself not to eat carbs. You still love sugar and chocolate as much as you did yesterday, but now today you can't eat anymore. You still love to eat 2,500 calories yesterday, but now you're going to force yourself to eat 1,200 calories. You see what I mean? So you're never dealing with your subconscious programming. You're just forcing yourself to act differently. And you can do that for a little while, and then you always go back to doing what you subconsciously are programmed to do. So how do we reprogram ourselves subconsciously? Well, there's a number of ways to do this, but I will give you one example of what I mean. So let's just say for me, okay, Nutella's a problem. I think about Nutella all the time. I want to eat it. Once I start eating it, I have a hard time stopping it. So I'm not going to just stop myself from eating Nutella because I know subconsciously I really want to eat it. So what I'm going to do is I want to change my subconscious associations to Nutella. One way you can do that is you could research what Nutella is. And I pick Nutella especially because there's a great illustration. It's one of the best I've seen. Go look up, go Google layers of Nutella. I bet it's the first thing that comes up. Let me just double check this. Layers of Nutella. And then look at, yeah, okay, it's the first thing. So go Google layers of Nutella, and you will see the first thing comes up, it'll show Nutella on the left, and on the right, they've put it into the layers of what actually makes up Nutella. Because this summarizes the reality we live in. We live in an illusion where what we're actually consuming is not what we think we're consuming. We think of things in terms of finished product and branding and taste and experience of eating it, and we don't break it down into what we're actually consuming. And so when you do this with Nutella especially, you're going to find that it is like 40% sugar, 10% hazelnuts, 10% cocoa, 15% skim milk powder, and the rest is palm oil. And they show it, they break it up in the jar so you can, it allows you, you put a pair of glasses on it, it allows you to see through the bullshit of the final product and the branding and the packaging, and it brings you into what you're actually consuming. And so the reason I think this is a good descriptor of what I'm talking about is because I'm not looking to keep the same associations I have with Nutella, where what are my primary associations with Nutella? Well, I think about having the Nutella jar, scooping it out with my knife, putting it on a piece of toast, eating that toast. Mmm, I love Nutella. Now I got to stop myself from loving it. That's a hard thing to do. I want to go and learn about Nutella. What is it? Oh, well, I have the perception of when I eat it out of the jar, that experience. And now I'm looking at, oh, that's what I'm eating? Holy shit, that's a lot of sugar. That's a lot of palm oil. That doesn't look as appealing to me. So I'm starting to change the way I think about it. I'm changing my subconscious programming of Nutella. Now, this is just one thing you have to do. I mean, there's other things, but what happened is, let's just say you see this, and say you hate sugar and you hate palm oil. And all of a sudden you see like, oh my God, that's what it is? Like it sobers you up. It cleanses the lenses of your perception so that now you're not just thinking of Nutella as that experience of when you eat it and love it. You're now thinking of it in a different way, and it may decrease the cravings for it. Like once you see like, oh, that's what it is, your cravings might decrease. And so now it's not that you have to stop yourself from eating it as much as it is, I don't really want it that much. You see what I mean? I hope this makes sense to you, because when you start changing your subconscious program, this is how you get yourself on a path to automatically live as a naturally thin and healthy person, as opposed to always being a fight. It's this reprogramming process. And again, that's one tiny, tiny example of what we're consistently doing. But we're aiming at our subconscious mind so we automatically and naturally are feeling indifferent and easily able to avoid the unhealthy stuff that makes us overweight and unhealthy, and naturally start to crave and desire and eat the things that make us feel better and give us the results we want. And that's the big difference. What's up, Sharon? Sharon says, do you believe food can be addictive? Yeah, absolutely, food can be addictive. I don't like the combinations of when they'll say, oh, well, sugar's like cocaine. In some ways it is, like in the sense that it lights up our pleasure centers, but it's not in the sense that it doesn't affect our brain the same way cocaine does either. So again, there's an inebriating effect from cocaine and other substances that food is not as strong with. So again, it is addictive like substances in some ways and not as addictive in other ways. And but food can certainly be addictive. But the reason I mentioned that about the addictive piece is that we have more control over food typically than we do over substances typically. And but yeah, I definitely think they can be addictive, and they certainly can feel addictive when you have no idea how to control your mindset or be strategic with your eating, you know? Yeah. Bravo. Beniamina. Yeah. Just got to get the the accent's right. That's easy. Banana Mania. Yeah, I don't know what they put inside. So go look that up then, okay? And you got to see with your eyeballs. Remember, when we see things, this is why I say, outside of the 8 habits I always talk about for a healthy lifestyle, the other two bonus ones that are just as important, but I don't overwhelm you, is learning, watching documentaries, reading, watching YouTube, listening to podcasts, learning about nutrition, learning about what you're actually putting in your body is very, very helpful. And the other one is having a hobby that truly fulfills you and jazzes you up. But yeah, visually, most of our brain is dedicated to visual stimuli. So when you see things, a lot of times it's going to be more impactful, okay? And I think that going to look at that Nutella and the layers, go look at everyone. You'll see. I mean, it was impactful for me. You know, I'm not saying it's going to make you instantly not like Nutella anymore, but I'm saying it's going to move you in that direction. I bet after seeing that, you will crave Nutella less, at least for a little bit of time. And if you reinforce that and you understand what we're talking about here, you could do that a lot, you know. What I normally do is decide that I will have a very small spoon, just a few grams. Yeah, that's an option too. And so again, we want to stack options. We don't just rely on one thing. We use everything at our disposal to get the results we want. So yeah, using a small spoon and having a treat in a moderated way, I think is wonderful. And looking at Nutella through, to be able to see through the bullshit and see what you're actually addicted to, I think that's helpful too. Because it's not just this wonderful, you know, liquidy-ish chocolate spreading anymore. It starts with, it's just sugar. You know what's good like that too is soda. Soda's a wonderful thing to do. Look up soda and sugar content. And I look at, like, when I think of sodas now, I think of the pile of sugar that I remember seeing this. There's 12 packets of sugar in a soda. 12 packets. Think about putting 12 packets of sugar in your coffee. That's a very sweet drink. And the only reason you don't think of it as being so sweet is because the sodas are really bitter. So because of the bitter, it hides a lot of the sugar content. But if you took 12 packets of sugar and put it in your tea or your coffee, you wouldn't even be able to drink it probably. But because of the bitterness of the soda, it hides the sugar. So again, when you can see what you're actually putting in your body, you're always being tricked. We're constantly being tricked about what we're putting in our body. And once you can see through the bullshit, it certainly supports making healthier choices automatically, because you're going to feel less craving for these foods when you really see through the bullshit. It's like when you go to fast food, in your mind, imagining the commercial version of what you're going to get. You get to it and you get the squished, soggy, steamy version of it. And it's like, again, you have to see things for what they are. And if you went further back, your favorite foods, if you went further back, I'll give you an example they did with Cheez-Its. The guy was at the Cheez-It factory and they gave him a version without salt. I'll always remember this. He goes, I ate them, and he goes, it tasted like metal filings. It's disgusting. Cheez-Its are made out of trash. All your processed foods, things that you love, they're made out of the cheapest, shittiest ingredients possible. And they're able to trick you because it tastes stimulating. The stimulating taste tricks your brain into eating fucking trash that you think is good. It's not good. Take the fake flavoring away and you couldn't even stomach eating this shit. And it's just the truth. So as you start to see reality for what it is, it supports a healthier diet. You know, people ask, oh, how do I not eat sugar? Well, I don't just not eat sugar because I have willpower. I not eat sugar because I've studied what sugar does to my body. And I still, again, I'm moderate with it. I'll still eat it sometimes because I'm okay with it. I think it's okay. But I'm not, I would never put sugar in my body constantly. I'm not only that, but I'm more aware. I know putting lots of sugar in my body, I'm going to get the sniffles. I'm going to be tired. I'm not going to sleep as well. I'm going to start being moodier. I'm just be hungry all the time. It just gets more and more and more. I have figured out how to have it in my life in a constrained way. And I want it to be that way, because I don't want to feel like shit. So hopefully that helps. No coffee. It's totally without sugar. Yeah, of course. Black espresso. Yeah, exactly. So that's it. Yeah. So I drink coffee black too. And listen, I mean, the first coffees I ever drank in my life were like Dunkin' Donuts. They were basically milkshakes. I mean, there was so much sugar and cream in them. They were like milkshakes. And it was hard because guess what? They tasted good. Sugar and fat, your brain loves. It's not even that it tastes good. You want to know something weird? It's not even that sugar and fat taste good. It's that you associate that flavor with the dopamine that it releases. And so your brain makes it think that that's what's good, because your brain lights up when you get calories in it, when you taste sweet things, and they're kind of one and the same. And so now they've done studies where they'll put tubes into animal stomachs, and so they're not tasting the food. But when you get high calorie, sweet things into their stomach, their body can sense it and it releases dopamine, because we raised in a food scarce environment. So anytime you got access to more calories, your brain starts lighting more, 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 more. Come on, come on, come on. And so, again, once you understand brain science, it changes the way you think about food. So anyways, I'll let all that go. But yeah, the less sugar, the more clean you make your eating, the easier time you'll have, I believe, and the better you'll feel, and the easier time will be mastering your weight. So anyways, all right, everyone, thank you so much. This has been great. You guys are awesome as usual. I got to get out of here. If you're not in my world, please go to my bio, click the link, get the hypnosis session, watch the video, read the emails. I'm here to help you. All right. Listen to the podcast. Podcast is Program Yourself Then. And yeah, it's on all the major platforms. Listen to it. If you like it, leave me a review. And I'm here to help you out. I want to help you master your weight. And I do it every day. So thank you so much. Oh, Zooks, love this live. So glad I joined today. Me too. So Zooks, follow me. Follow me wherever you're following me on TikTok. So follow me there, because I'll pop up randomly with some stuff that'll help you. But go to my bio, take the minute and a half, go get the hypnosis session, get in my world, because I will absolutely help you. Absolutely. Oh, and thank you, everyone. Yeah, Jay Raquel, thank you. You're welcome. Benny Amina. It was lovely talking to you. It was nice talking to you. Go check out that picture of the Nutella. And yeah, Crystal, thank you. You're welcome. So thank you very much, everyone. Have a super day, and we will talk soon. Bye, everyone.